The act of simply having children does not make mothers. The act of simply having children does not make mothers. Mothers are made by raising children. That's what a real mom is. Hebrew proverb says God could not be everywhere, so he invented mothers. Spanish proverb says an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. Sir Winston Churchill, quote, "If we want to change our nation, begin by enlisting the mothers." Jewish proverb, "Mothers understand what children do not say." And then we have a quote here, wife, "What are you getting my mother for her birthday?" Husband says, "A cemetery plot." A year later, wife says, "What are you getting my mother for her birthday this year?" Husband, "Nothing. She didn't use what I gave her last year." There is penalty for bigamy, two mother-in-laws, you know. And no man is really successful until his mother-in-law says so. All right. Well, let's see here. Did everybody see the picture of Jacob Kilmer up, going through up there? There's one coming up. I see the gals can get to it. Like, I have a small comment about that. You know, men's retreat was yesterday. And I got to tell you, you know, one of the things that Sarah will ask me and the other ladies will say is, what are you guys planning to do for men's retreat? And Dan and I were talking about it, and we said, we really don't have to plan much. You see, men, we come, we have our ready-made entertainment because Robert comes and Frank comes. And so, you think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. Dan, I'm not lying, am I? Amen, brother. Yeah, they had us in stitches. There he is, see? And I want to tell you, that is the smallest fish we caught yesterday. I'm serious. See? See? Welcome to Christian Fellowship. Oh, boy. That was a big dude. That thing was so big, we had to wade out and grab it by both gills to get it out of the water. It couldn't get it on the bank. It was huge pipe. Yeah, it's huge. That's a big fish. Yeah, it's optical illusion. It was actually, yeah. Yeah, it would reach from his waist to the ground. That's how big that fish was. Truth. That's truth. No, all kidding aside. Yep. Yep. He's got a whale of a fish story. The Kilmers are king when it comes to fishing, yes. All right. Anything else? If I missed anything announcement-wise? If you would, I'd like to pray. Is there, you know, all kidding aside, I'd like to pray for Jo this morning. She's got a lot of pain in her hip. You know, she's got, was it drop foot? Bert, is that it? And so that means that foot has no feeling in it and just a lot of pain. So gather with me here this morning. And let's agree as reaching out and touching her hip in Jesus' name, that replacement. Father, we come to you in the precious name, and we just want to say, Father, we are so grateful that you are risen with healing in your wings, Lord Jesus, that the Father sent his word and healed us. So, Father, we just agree with you, and we agree with your word this morning. Joe is made whole. Pain leave in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for your anointing, not only upon Joe this morning, but upon this sanctuary and everyone here, that we might gather together and worship our living Heavenly Father. Thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Janita Kilmer.
Now I can see. Okay, here I am. This has been on my heart for several weeks. Basically, what I want to share is asking you to rejoice with me that the Lord is so good, despite this world we live in is rough and tough, and sometimes it feels like it's survival of the fittest. But I'm here because of the grace of the Lord in so many areas of my life. So I kind of want to give you a bigger picture of the redemption of our Lord and how he redeems the very horrible things in our lives. And in sharing my heart this morning, I hope it gives you hope in your journeys. So in sharing how God brought a lot of sorrow into my life, he still deserves being called blessed and good because he has also given in. So as you all know, I did recently get married, and that in of itself is a miracle because of all the obstacles in getting married, it happened very beautifully, very happily. Growing up, I hated my dad immensely. So at age 18, I either wanted him to die or me to die. And over the years, that has changed, thankfully, because it's, you know, through our earthly father that we see the heavenly father. And my most, like, number 10 moment on my wedding day was having my daddy walk me down that aisle and being his fourth born child. I was the first one getting married, and it was so sweet. Also, dad was the first word I spoke after my coma, and it's a wonderful moment seeing my dad enjoy Jacob and Jacob enjoy my dad. That is so priceless to me. And along the lines of my mother, she was absent from age 12 on, and I again went through a lot of those emotions of despising her, not speaking about her, and she missed the huge points in my life of, you know, becoming baptized, graduating high school, getting my driver's license, and the list goes on of, well, maybe this year she'll be here for my birthday, or maybe this year I'll at least get a Christmas gift from her, and it wouldn't happen. So the anger and the bitterness would mount and mount and mount. And in addition to the dysfunction with my father, God really blossomed my redemption story when I came to Missouri and learned about the Father's heart, that no matter what your earthly father and mother do, him, the heavenly father, is never going to leave or forsake you. And in restoring the brokenness with my parents, he gave me a lot of step-in spiritual mothers and fathers, and that was really beautiful to see on my wedding day how many of them came out and, oh yeah, you were the one that was there for my graduation party, and how I can look back at the negative and bitter things, but really, truly, God has been weaving that thread of redemption of, I'm still here for you, Janita. You are my chosen daughter. And that is so special. Even through my car wreck, I figured, well, she didn't care for me all those years. Why would she care for me now? And she showed up for my 26th birthday, which was, you know, pretty profound that she came all the way to Missouri and celebrated my birthday. And then again, she was at my wedding day, and that was awkward, but it was very, very special and sweet to get pictures. Not following the example that she's given, but following the example of our Lord, and that true love is enduring, and it waits, and it keeps its promises. So blessed is the name of the Lord, like we sang this morning. Though he has taken away, he returns, I don't know, 10, 12-fold in my life. He's He's shown up that there still is hope. You know, Mother's Day has always been difficult for me because jealousy and just like, well, you just have the perfect story in the Mennonite culture. There's always mom and dad. There's always mom and dad together. And so this morning I can say happy Mother's Day with my full heart, believing that even though, yeah, there's the dark, but there's also the light of fresh fresh hope. Really, hope is the bottom line in our redeeming God. And I just want to say this morning how last year was a horrible year, and this year has been great. I'm happily married, even though for many years I believe men were evil beasts. And, you know, it's just so, so beautiful and rejoicing in the Lord today and always, and what he brought me through with, you know, nearly dying last year. And here I'm driving again, I'm working again, and it's just so wonderful. I wanted to share my testimony this morning that mothers truly are priceless, because where would we be without them? Literally, we wouldn't be here without Mother Eve. And just, you don't have to have children biologically to claim them as your own and love them fiercely. And many women in my life have done that, or I would not be the woman I am today. And Lord willing, someday I can love other children as my own. So that's all.
That's an amazing testimony to our God. But I want her, no offense to any of the women here, and don't worry, Father's Day is coming, so we'll get you guys. But every woman here has been hurt somehow in a mother-daughter relationship. And so I'm just asking Janita to pray.
Lord Jesus, we come before you and we always see you as our Father, but Lord, on a day like today and every day, we see you also as that motherly love, how you gather your children under your wings, Lord, and every woman in this room, every child, God, we just lift them to your throne of grace, like you've graced my life with women of integrity and truth and such tender love, Lord, that you would sweep down with those wings and carry the ones who have those really ugly, painful parts that you hardly even want to talk about or look at. God, that your healing power would continue through it has over all the ages. You've given that abiding love that is the bedrock for so many storms, God, and I thank you for the women of this church that have been examples and grace givers, Father. I thank you and praise your name today for mothers and what they mean to us. Help us to honor and serve them better each of our days. Lord Jesus, thank you again for your redeeming power. Amen.
I hear you, Aaron, laughing. You fix that and I'll talk. That my other life, I was a speech therapist, speech pathologist. And so, I worked with people who that had a hard time talking, and mostly in the schools, but the other area is people who had traumatic brain injuries, like Junita or in hospitals where they had strokes and stuff like that. And when she got out of the hospital, she didn't sound like she just sounded. What a miracle. What a miracle. And just the fact that the Lord created our brains to be so restorative is such a praise to God. And that He made her brain to end up being so healed. I mean, I just sit and I listen to her and I just go through the things that speech therapists talk about, the abstract language and things that would be boring probably to you, but I'm in awe. I'm in awe. And so I just thank the Lord for what He's done and how He took something ugly and turned it to absolute wonder and delight.
I'm assuming Terry said something about the 20th. I think this is a big deal for us. I'm looking forward to it the last weekend in August. Anybody wants to help? I know Dan and Robert would love to have all the help. Dan actually said at the men's gathering yesterday that he hopes some women volunteer because he knows that there's some stuff that he just doesn't understand that they could add to. That's a nice way of putting it, right, guys? In other words, we need the women's touch. But you know, we're going to make this an outreach. We're going to invite some churches to celebrate with us. We're going to advertise this, make this an outreach that, hey, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary. Come by and say hey and spend some time with us. We're going to do it here. We thought about doing it elsewhere, but it's easier to do the outreach type stuff if we do it here. And so if you've got some ideas or got some time, you want to help out, please get a hold of them, and we're going to probably schedule a meeting not too far down the line. The other thing is, and I don't, again, I don't know if Terry said something about this, restarting. We're going to start this, I think, June 6th for a couple introductory, and then the 20th, it really starts. Who here has gone through restarting? I know there's a number of us that have gone through restarting. Okay, if you have any questions, I think all of us would say it's worth it. Chris and I have gone through it 3 times because we liked it so much. It takes the situation of some of the stuff that Janita was talking about this morning and combines with brain science. So you know how the brain functions in the time of when there's trauma. And it's pretty cool to know. So Christianity plus brain science.
Yeah, so it's not
right. Right. And it's interesting because one of the guys that helped develop this stuff is a guy named Dr. Amen. I just thought that was kind of cool. Anyway, so let's start. Father, I pray that you be with me, that you encourage me, that you speak through me, and that the words that come out of my mouth would be of you. And that everything I say that is of you would pierce our hearts, and that I would, that if it's not of you, that it would fall on the floor. Lord, just bless us. I pray blessing upon all the mothers here, and that you would just increase in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, I was preparing and so forth, and then all of a sudden I realized it was Mother's Day on Thursday. I don't think about mothers a lot, don't have children, and my mother is dancing on the street as golden and spending time with her favorite flower, which for some reason eludes me at this time, bird of paradise. And so I don't often think about it. So I was preparing everything, and then all of a sudden it hit me, and I went, Well, I just want you to know what I'm going to do this morning and start is no reflection on mothers. None. Zilch. Zero. It's just how it worked out, and I'm trusting and I'm believing Holy Spirit's in this. But I just wanted to give that little disclaimer because I'm going to start a series on acceptable sins. There's a couple people here. Chris is doing a Bible study with Aaron and Shannon and some others. And that this might seem a little like at times. I've looked at the book, but I'm not following the book. And I'm going to get into the introduction this morning on acceptable sins. And in some ways, as we finished a series on spiritual warfare 3 weeks ago, and I just want to put in a thing here. If you didn't hear Terry's three messages, I encourage you to listen to them. They're excellent. They're not out there yet. We're in that kind of la-la land of transferring from our old 1980s website to our new website. And I think you're going to really love our new website because we've just totally redesigned it, totally rewrote everything. And, well, we didn't redesign it. Some other folks redesigned it. And hopefully it'll be out there in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and then we'll have everything up to date and everything like that. But I really, at your earliest convenience, I really encourage you to listen to that three-part series. It's excellent on the culture of the church. But I really think what we're getting into, what I'm going to get into, even though it's an extension of spiritual warfare, it really is kind of a new start of a series. And you might ask, well, why do I say it's an extension? Well, when we talked about spiritual warfare, we talked a lot about how Satan does what? He deceives. He lies. He accuses. He condemns. And he does other things like condemnation or just temptation and so forth. And that's why we need to put on the full armor of God. That's why we need to put on, to gird ourselves with the belt of mercy. That's why we need to shod our feet with the readiness of the gospel of peace. That's why we need to put on the breastplate of the righteousness of God. That's why we need to take up the shield of faith. That's why we need to take up the helmet of salvation. That's why we need to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is the truth of the God, because that is how that we can overcome sin. One of the ways we can overcome sin. The truth of the matter is, and this is not a salvation message about sin, okay? This is about us here who, as I look around the room, all of us are followers of Jesus. And you might go, don't need to talk about sin. My sin's covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's true. But guess what? No offense. Y'all still sin. I still sin. It's not to bring condemnation, though. And you're going to hear me say that over and over because I don't want us to go into condemnation. If you go into condemnation, it's from the pit. It's not from God. The purpose of this series is not to the 287th power, not to bring condemnation. The purpose of this series is to help us to understand what God thinks of sin, which I think we all have a little bit of an idea about it, but it's also to help us to become more aware of the sin in our lives, the acceptable sins. Or what's the name of the book that... The respectable sins. In other words, they're respectable to do these things. It's okay. No, it's not okay. Sin is sin is sin. Well, you know, commit adultery, that's horrible, but a little white lie here and there. Or, Terry, can you pray with me about Bert? You know, he's got these issues in his life. And what are they? You know? I mean, there's just acceptable sins that we just accept and we don't even think about it. But we need to think about it. And then how it exists in our lives even when we don't think so. C.S. Lewis made this comment, which is interesting. The barrier I have met is the almost total absence from the minds of my audience of any sense of sin. And he wasn't talking about just unbelievers. He was talking about believers as well. We need to understand that we sin. There's no condemnation. Like I said, you're going to get tired of hearing me say that. But we will walk in the condemnation. sin, do you realize the word sin is mentioned more than 740 times in the Bible? Do you think it's important to God that we have an understanding? We need to understand what sin is. We need to understand its consequences. And again, this series is not about condemnation. It's not about legalism. It's not about if I do this, if I do this, and I do this, I do this, or I do that, I'm all right before God. We're all right before God. If you're covered by the blood of Jesus, you're all right before God. That's already taken care of. It's not about like that person came to me that one time after I talked about something. He says, you mean I'm holy right now? And I said, yeah, you're holy right now. Right now. I said, yeah, you're holy right now. And he kept pushing. He says, right now. I said, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, right? And I said, and he said, yeah. I said, you're holy right now. We are accepted right now if you're in Christ. But we need to understand about something about sin. We need to approach all of our sin the same way that we approach sin the first time that we cried out to Jesus. Do you remember that time? Think about it. You had come to the end of your rope, and you knew you couldn't deal with it yourself. And you cried out to Jesus. That's the approach we need to take with every sin, even now. So we can repent. Because sin does have its consequences. Unrepentant sin does have its consequences, which we'll get to later. See, sin is like a cancer. We can take it for granted. Oh, shall I sin all the more that grace may abound? Well, verse 2 is the one we don't always like to look at in Romans 6. No. An emphatic no. It's like cancer. Unless we deal with it, it grows. There's somebody, a friend of mine, put on Facebook the other day, you know, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said. But if you tell a lie, which lie did I tell Terry? Which lie was I told Frank? You know what I mean? It's cancer. God will convict, but he will never condemn his children. Romans 8:1, I love how it is in the New Living Translation. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So what is sin? Obviously, it's something we should take seriously as a believer. It's not something that once, until we become a believer, and then after we become a believer, we go on cruise control, which is easy to do. I've done it. I'm guilty of it. But it's something we should be aware of so we can repent for it. We need to understand, though, that sin has no power over us. That's what it says in Romans 6:17, again in the New Living Translation. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. How is that possible? Well, you back up a verse in Romans 6:6. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer under its power. We're no longer slaves. Does that mean we can be sinless? In God's eyes, we are. Because the flesh is not redeemed, sorry, you're always going to sin. But I think everybody in here can give a testimony of how you used to do this sin, and by the grace of God, you've overcome it. Because that sin has no longer has power in your life. But no sin has power in our life. See, as followers of Jesus, we have the privilege, and it is a privilege, of celebrating daily his crucifixion and resurrection because it means so much to us. We can celebrate it because we also were crucified with Jesus. That's what it says in Galatians 2:20, again in the NLT. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We can also celebrate that we were not only crucified, we were resurrected. In the message, Romans 6:8, if we get included in Christ in conquering death, and if you're a believer, you were, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. So we're not stuck in that sin, crucified, but we have been resurrected. And that is exciting. We have been crucified and we have been resurrected with Christ and are no longer slaves to the sin, to sin or the power of sin. And that's almost like worthy of a standing ovation. You awake? If we are in Christ, we can celebrate that all our sins have been forgiven. I'm talking about past, I'm talking about present, and I'm talking about those ones you're going to do Thursday afternoon into the future. It's finished. Jesus took care of them all. He said it's finished. And there's other scriptures. Look it up. Yet we have the flesh, the unredeemed flesh, which Satan lies to, which the world lies to, which we lie to. And we sin. We know that Satan lies. We know that he deceives. We know that he tempts. We know that he accuses. And here's the sad part. At least for me, if the shoe fits, put it on. And all too often I listen. All too often I listen. You know? Jacob's a good guy. Yeah, but did you hear about what he did the other day? Why do we go down that road? I love that old cartoon, the Looney Tunes. You know, he had the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder. And they're having that battle. Do you ever feel like that? I do. Does anybody else? I mean, be honest. Does anybody ever feel like that? And then you go, which voice is which voice? Well, the only way I can answer that question is you get into this book. And you keep reading this book, and you keep reading this book, and you keep praying. And Holy Spirit gives you the discernment. But we also know we can repent. So what is sin? Well, it started with Adam and Eve. You know the story. I'm not going to go back to Revelation. The other end. Genesis. Eat the fruit. Walk in the cool of the day. Where are you? You think God didn't know where they were? He was looking for a confession. And here's the truth. I remember the first time I heard this, I went, I don't like it. It's not fair. And I've heard a lot of people say, I don't like it, it's not fair. But the truth is, at that point, Adam and Eve and us died spiritually. That's why we need to be reborn. But that's not fair. I wasn't there. Well, what makes you think you wouldn't have done the same thing? I probably would have done a little faster. Thank you. See, because of Jesus, we became alive again when we were born again. See, 1 Peter 1:3 in the New Living Translation again. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. You know, we were crucified, we were raised with Him when we were born again. That's exciting stuff. In Christ, in the old Adam, we passed from being alive spiritually to being dead spiritually. In the new Adam, Jesus, we pass from being dead spiritually to being alive spiritually. Read Romans 6, Romans 7. Read Romans. Read the Bible. We are alive with Christ, even though the flesh still sins. Again, what is sin? Well, one thing we always have to remember, God hates sin. Oh, but doesn't He just hate sin until we become saved and it's kind of okay? No. Where does it say that? Where does it say there are acceptable sins? Again, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But don't we want to walk in as much maturity and perfection as we can because of what God has done for us? He hated it so much that He forsook Christ on the cross. So what is sin? We know what drove Jesus to the cross, but I want to make this crystal clear. And you've heard me say this before. As we look at these sins, the purpose is not to bring condemnation. And why do I keep saying this over and over? Because in my life, I have seen too many, way too many people, believers, that have walked into condemnation instead of repentance and the truth. Oh, I'm not worthy of what God has done for me. I just need to sit down and shut up. He can't use me. I'm worthless. And all the time, that little devil here sitting there going, yeah, go, baby. You're worthless. And what you need to do is go, boom, spit in his face. Because those are that's condemnation, and it's not from God. That's why we need to have a better understanding of sin and its effects so we can grasp it and grab hold of it and know how to deal with it so we don't walk into condemnation. It's just one of the reasons. That's why we need to have a better understanding of the warfare that we are in. We are surrounded by warfare. We were talking yesterday, I think it was yesterday at the men's retreat, how you really can't even turn television on anymore. If they're not pressing some sex object in your face, they're belittling men. Or they're belittling this group or that group or are making fun of Christians. Or using God's name in vain. We started watching a movie last night and we watched it for about 4 or 5 minutes and they started talking about using God's name in vain. We both said, that's done. We're done with that one. I can take some four-letter words occasionally in a movie that's good, but when you start using my God's name in vain, not interested, just not interested. We did watch a really cool documentary on the 1936 Olympics and the Skull team. I know you're all great Skull fans, right? Rowing. Everybody's shaking their head no. Well, 1936, that was a great American sport. I wasn't born then, so I don't know this by living. I know this. But it was also a great sport for old Hitler. And the Americans went over there in the premier skull event of eights and won. And it was a bunch of people that had just grown up in just horrible situations. And they came together and won the Olympics. It's just kind of I like documentaries. Anyway, but we need that better understanding. We need to be in that place so a light bulb comes on. When we start to sin, the light bulb comes on. Or if we do sin, the light bulb comes on. So he goes, Father, I'm sorry. So we know and walk in the truth so we can reduce the amount we sin because the truth will set us free. That's what it says in John 8:32. And you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I don't want that. This is what I want. It will. So what is sin? You think I need to answer that question finally? Well, the basic Hebrew word is chata. It means to miss, to forfeit, or to lack. And the basic Greek word is hamartia, which means to miss the mark, to err. If you go back to the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and I highly recommend the Webster's, look up the definition of sin in the modern dictionary, and you might be a little amazed. But in the 1828, it says, the voluntary departure of a moral agent, us, voluntary departure. Well, the devil made me do it. Remember, what was his name, that old Flip Wilson? You know, always was saying, the devil made me do it. Well, no, he didn't make him do it. You listened and chose to do it. The voluntary departure of a moral agent from a known rule of rectitude or duty prescribed by God. Any transgression of the divine law or violation of a divine command, a wicked act, iniquity. That's a pretty good definition. I boil all this down and said this is my definition. Sin is forfeiting our freedom from the power of sin, submitting to that power, and doing that which is contrary to the cross. That's how I define it. Sin's often divided up into two groups. Sins of commission is doing that which we should not do. 1 John 3:4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Sins of omission is not doing what we should do. James 4:17, New Living Translation, that fear is it's got us coming and going both ways. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Fairly clear. God hates sin, whether we do what we shouldn't do or we don't do what we should, whether it's an outward action or it's an action from our heart or mind. What's it say in various places? If you say raka, if you think this, if you look after a woman, you've committed adultery. It's of the heart and mind, but it's also of action. So much so that God laid out seven detestable sins in the Old Testament. This is just to give you some thoughts, and we'll get into some of these maybe in the days ahead. Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things that the Lord hates. I love how he does this throughout the Proverbs. Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. In other words, those that look upon others with arrogance, a tongue that cannot tell the truth, hands that kill the innocent. I think of that when I come to abortion. A heart that plots evil deeds, feet that race to do what is wrong. In other words, you want to do wrong more than right. A false witness who lies incessantly and purposefully, and a man who sows discord in a family, all walking in sin. Paul laid out 15 of them in the New Testament in Galatians 5:19-21. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. Plus, John talked about some others that deserve the lake of fire. In Revelation 21:8, in the New Living Translation, it says, but cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, how can I say that? Because here's the truth. If we are in Christ, we are not the nouns. You understand what I'm saying? We are not naming who we are. We may lie, but we are not liars. We may lust, but we are not lustmongers. We may torment or look at something, but we are not. We are not the nouns. Instead, we are the verbs. There are actions we do, and that's why we need to repent of them. We may lie, we may gossip, we may get angry, we may walk in pride, or whatever. But we're not the nouns if we're in Christ. We are the verbs. Thank God for the cross and the repentance. Again, God hates sin. Whether a person is a sinner noun, that's a person not in Christ, or a sinner verb, which is us. God doesn't look at us as a sinner, I promise you. He looks at you as one of his kids. He looks at you as covered by the blood of Jesus. Yes, he sees when you sin, and there's things, and we'll get into that probably next week. But we are not sinners now. That is not who we are. We are saints. We are God's chosen. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are holy. We are saints. Do Do you understand what I'm saying here? Not saying we don't verb, but we are not the noun. We also know that sin has an effect on us. Why would God insist on us repenting if it didn't have an effect on us? Not just once, but over and over is necessary. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, notice the word plural, sins, is not if we confess our sin, it's we confess our sins, plural, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And actually, how that is better written is if we say, if we keep confessing our sins. That's really, when you go back to the Greek, in the Aramaic, that's really what it says. If we keep confessing our sins. See, the truth of the matter is, folks, is we are to live in an ongoing lifestyle where we openly and honestly face the sin in our lives, not hiding from them. Do you think if we hide them, God doesn't know about them? Of course he does. And not making excuses for why we did sin. Well, I did that because it's Terry's fault. If he hadn't done what he did, I wouldn't have done what I did. It doesn't work that way. I did it. Instead, admit that we sinned. Confess the sin and repent. How often? Continually. Even taking David's approach, and Chris and I have incorporated this in our lives. Confessing the sin in our lives even when we aren't sure what they did. What did David do in Psalm 51, starting in verse 1? Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. He doesn't list what those transgressions are. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. He understands that he's human, that he has flesh, that yes, he is a child of the living God. And applying to us, we know we're in Christ. I'm not saying we need to walk through life going. I'm just saying, and we're going to go through some of these acceptable sins so that we're aware of them. And as we do at night, when we lay down to bed, go to bed, we pray the prayer of David and say, forgive us all our sins today, even those we don't know. Because it wouldn't surprise me if I didn't say a mean word to somebody. Or I didn't do this, or I didn't do that. See, God doesn't want us to sin. 1 John 2, verse 1. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But he goes on, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. In other words, there's no condemnation because we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is a sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of all the world, for all of us. We're all covered by the blood of Jesus. All of our sins have been atoned for, past, present, and future. He doesn't want us to sin, yet he knows we will. And when we do, he wants us to understand we have that advocate. See, the curtain was torn. It was torn. We can walk boldly in and say, Father, I sinned. I did this or I did that. Or please forgive me of all my sins. And you know his reaction is going to be, come on up here. I just want to love on you. It's not going to be, get out of here, you creep. No condemnation. Aha! I had called you into the ministry, but you just forfeited it. You know how I wanted you to be on the worship team? It's all over, buddy. You lost a chance. Have you ever known people that think that? I know you have. You might have. I have. But the truth is, we forfeit nothing. But there is effect, and we'll see that. But the curtain was torn, and we can boldly walk in. See, as we confess our sins, he'll remove our sins as far as the east from the west. That's what it says in Psalm 103. He will blot them out and never think of them again. Isaiah 43. And, you know, I like that one. He doesn't forget them. Nowhere does it say God forgets our sins. He chooses not to remember them anymore. That speaks of love. That is amazing. He says, I know, but I am not going to relate to you based upon that sin. And it goes on in further in Isaiah, earlier in Isaiah, I will cast him behind my back. Put it right behind your back. Try to look behind your back. Mind-boggling stuff. It should cause us to stand and give an ovation, cause us to stand or fall to our knees. It's absolutely amazing stuff. There's no reason to hide any sin from our God. You can't. And we can just get rid of it. He wants us to be honest. He wants us to confess him and no longer to carry them. Why? Because he wants our burden to be light. He doesn't want us to have a heavy burden. Go to Matthew 11, 28 and on to 30. And when we do that, what kind of power are we taking away from that idiot, old Slewfoot? But what about sin, for there has no repentance? You know, there's sin in our lives that we've not repented for. Is there consequences? Yeah, there is. That's the easy part. But what are the consequences? And let me tell you, people are all over the place on this. People will say you can't get healed if you've got sin in your life. Well, I have some friends that got healed and then they got saved. They had sin and other things. But here's what I believe. And I'm going to start this week very simply and expand on it next week. And I want to say this first. If we are a believer, our legal standing before God does not change. We are still forgiven, we are not condemned, and we are under the blood of Jesus. Romans 8:1 again. Salvation is not based upon our merits. It's not about works. It's not about legalism. It's about his grace. It's a free gift of God, as it says in Romans 6:23. See, Christ's death paid for all of our sin. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, past, present, and future. He paid for all of our sin. Well, I know you can forgive me. I know this thought's never crossed any of your minds. It has mine. Well, God, I know you can forgive me for this. That's kind of a little. But this? Can you really forgive me for this? Of course. Sin is sin is sin is sin. But yes, I believe there are consequences unto repentance. I'm just going to say this to you mothers that have children. Fathers, what happens when you catch a child being naughty and you call him out on it? Think about it this week. I'm not going to go any further than that, but that's your assignment. Think about it. What's their body action? What's your action? What do you do? Think about it this week. I can tell you one thing you don't do is you don't cut off relationship. So, Father, I pray that you, if you want to come back up, that you be with us, that you encourage us. Again, I pray blessings upon all the mothers, that the natural, the spiritual, and that you would give us more mothers, that they would even walk through the door, the mothers of Israel, mothers that would disciple younger ones or mentor younger ones, and just all the ones we need. Thank you, Lord. Think about it this week. What would you do? What would the child do? I'll tell you what I think they do next week.